Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. That is peace be unto you. We praise God. We say thanks and the praise is due to God, the Lord, sustainer of the world, who cares about his creation, and especially his human creation. And he has given us, as a human example, model of human life excellence in Muhammad the Prophet, the seal of the Prophet, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad the son of his father Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayers and the peace be upon him. We are happy to be here in this city, Philadelphia, at this beautiful place in the Philadelphia Center, Convention Center. No, not Convention Center. The Convention Center, yes. Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. I knew something was not going quite right in that. Pennsylvania Convention Center. And to be back in a city that we still call the city of brotherly love. And I'm sure that all the citizens here know this city as the city of brotherly love. It's the city of the Liberty Bell, too. It rings out for freedom. And when I came here as a young minister for my father, who sent me here, late 1958, my father told me, he said, son, in case someone is not aware of who my father was, Elijah Muhammad told me, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said, son, he said, I'm sending you to the city of brotherly love. And I didn't know what that meant until after I came here and lived with you for about 3 years. And years later, like 15 years later, I reflected back on that and recalled what my father told me. And I said, well, that's exactly what I found, brotherly love. Yes, a brotherhood was formed that's strong enough to withstand anything that may come against it. The love that we experience for each other as Muslims and as supporters of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam, so strong, I repeat, it can withstand anything that comes against it. And this is what happened for us throughout America. Wherever we go in America, we can find some small group, yes? Yes, we recall Muhammad speaks. We can't help but recall it. It paid bills when nothing else would. yes. Wherever I go, where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was known personally by anybody, there's a strong following and a strong support there for my leadership today. Now, that's no accident. That's God. That was the doing of God. God, the Almighty Lord, who cares for us all, that was his doing. And I value that more than I value my physical life, because that is the life. That's the real life. And Islam now, as we understand it, God bless us to come into the understanding of the true religion, Islam, from the Quran, from the Holy Book, the Quran, and from the Muhammad the Prophet, upon him be peace, who is the leader of all the Muslims we have on this earth, whether they know it or not. Their leader is Muhammad the Prophet, who was born in Mecca, venerable Mecca, the sacred city of Mecca, over 14 centuries ago. And now his following has grown to well over one billion people. Well over 1 billion people. That is, the whole population for human beings on this earth is estimated now, reason to be about 5 billion plus. And if you take that 1 billion and look at it in that 5, then if we could put people, line people up according to what they believe in, one out of every 5 of those people, persons, would be Muslim. One out of every 5 would be Muslim. And this is what was predicted. This is what Allah promised us in the Quran with his words. And this is what the Prophet also predicted. We don't think of Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, as a prophet who made predictions. But his life, when we look at it, and his sayings, when we study his sayings, we can see that his life and his words and his life gave us many predictions, and many of them have come true already. They have come true already. And one of them is that the followers in Islam would be more numerous, more in number, than the followers of Judaism or Christianity. And we haven't yet become as many as Christians, but we are still growing and growing fast, growing fast. In all parts of the world, Europe, Asia, Africa, America, the islands, everywhere, people are looking at Islam and they are choosing it to be their religion. You know, I didn't tell you that to say that this news is what we need to support our spirit. No, that's not the news that supports my spirit. Because you can have many numbers and poor quality, and you have just more problems than more help. If we want help for the religion of Islam, that is, help to promote the religion of Islam and present it in the right picture, we have to have more than numbers. We have to have growth in quality, growth in the content of the believer who says he's a Muslim. Growth in the content. Thank you. This is not liquor, is it? Pure water. Thank you. Muslims do not drink liquors. Not even beer. Not even wine. Not even a sip. No. God said to us, stay away from it. It is the work of the devil, Satan. Shaitan, Satan. Stay away from it. Yes. Now, you know, if Satan makes something for you, if you take it, you're in trouble. That's enough for me. If God doesn't want me to have it, I don't want it. That's right. All I have to know is God doesn't want me to have it. I don't want it. If I'm weak, I'm going to try to be strong. Right? Doesn't mean that I can obey to the letter and perfectly everything God wants of me, but I sure feel bad when I know I'm not obeying. And just feeling bad when I know I'm not obeying makes my good side stronger. And one day I'll be better and better and better and better. And that's all Allah wants from us, that we be better and better and better and better. We can never be perfect. Only God is perfect. Okay, so much for that. I feel at home. Am I at home? Yes, yes. I used to have an address here. Thank you very much. I know I've been away a long time, but I'd like to think that I still have an address here in Philadelphia. Thank you very much. All right. Yes. I would like to, before going addressing the heart of the topic or the message that I would like to give you today, I would like for us to just see the presence of God's will and help in our history. You know, some of us think that, well, now this is not because I'm with my old friends that I'm talking like this. It has something to do with it. But those who travel with me, they'll tell you, say, oh, this, he talks like this when he's not visiting his old friends. Many of us in religion, especially in Islam, whatever idea we have in our mind that is right, any good that happened to us before we had this idea, we don't want to say God did that. We want to say, we seem to want to say, oh, before I had this religion, God, I couldn't get no help from God, and God didn't do anything for me. Do you think the God of heavens and earth will withhold his help from you because you don't know how to turn to him? You don't have to know how to turn to God. If you have a good heart, even if your heart ain't that good, if you need help from God, and it can't come from somewhere else, God is going to give you that help. I don't care where you are, what you're believing in. You could be Christian, Muslim, Jew, whatever you are. If you need God, and no one but God can come give you what you need, God obligates himself to come to you, to help you. That's the kind of God we have. We don't have no small peanut head God. We have the God, the real God, who's so big that the whole world can't hold him. Now, this is not just Islam. This is the Bible. Solomon said, when he was building the temple, he said, I build this temple, but I know this temple can't hold you. He said, not even the heavens of heavens can hold you. All that he mean the whole sky, all the skies, all the space that he can see, he said, can't hold you. And then we have a religion that tells us that Allah is bigger than the whole creation. He's bigger than all the space we can imagine. God is bigger than that. That's what we say when we say Allahu Akbar. Yes. So we know that. That God is so big, he contains all the creation in his one hand. This is the Quran. This is Quran. Say all the creation. That means earth, stars, moon, sun, whatever's beyond that, bodies or heavenly bodies beyond that. Says he holds it all in his one hand. Now you know God doesn't look like this. In Arabic, hand means control. I mean God holds all of that in one control. He has many controls, but he holds all of the heavens and earth in just one control. And really, hand means for us control, too. I'm going to handle you if you don't handle yourself. Handle you if you don't handle yourself. So it means control in our language, too, in English. Yes. Wonderful. So, Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. He is recorded to have said, it is in the great collection of Bukhari, may God be pleased with him, and Muslim, those two recorders of the life of Prophet Muhammad in his deeds, his works, and his sayings. It's recorded there our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said to his people, those who are of excellent behavior now were of excellent behavior before. I'm sorry. He put it this way. Those who were of excellent behavior before are of excellent behavior now. So he was saying then that before you became Muslims, you had excellent behavior. Well, I'm sure all of his followers knew they were to thank Allah for their excellent behavior. Because even the Prophet wouldn't take credit for his excellent behavior without saying it came from God. They were complimenting him once. This is just preliminary. We're given a kind of introduction. They were complimenting him once. And they asked him about his life. Jinn is the creatures that are not angels and not humans. Jinn. And we are taught that every human being has angels guarding his life for him or her, but also jinn. That is in our makeup. It's in our human makeup, jinn. And jinn gave prophets trouble, not just individuals. We have a jinn tempting Solomon, the prophet Solomon, you know, upon him be peace. And they asked the prophet, they say, O messenger of God, did you have a jinn? He said, yes, but my jinn became Muslim. Did you hear that? He said, yes. He said, yes, but my jinn became Muslim. That was a wonderful jinn, wasn't it? That accepted Islam, became Muslim, I would say, not accepted Islam. That was a wonderful jinn that became Muslim in Muhammad's life, in Muhammad's body, in Muhammad's body. That jinn became Muslim. Yes. So there are many of us, we had jinn when we were with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We had jinn. And I don't know if our jinn became Muslim. I know I was fighting mine. I had to fight my jinn. Sometime I had to fight and he popped up every now and then now. Yes. But we had excellence. What was that excellence? The police department. When we were getting in the news under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, hitting the press a lot on TV, it was reported that the police department said, one thing we know of these people, they believe in being clean, they believe in working, they're giving you an honest day's work. He said, and they are very mannerable and disciplined. That's excellent. That's excellent. And we know that the people who have gotten to know the followers of Honorable Elijah Muhammad since that early, I would say, presentation of his community or his Nation of Islam people on television and in the news, they have come to agree and say the same thing that the police, that persons in the police department said of us. They say they are mannerable, they're clean, they dress well, they're very disciplined. So this is an excellence that we had then. And that excellence was the gift of God. It was the blessings of Allah. It was the blessings of Allah. And you who kept that excellence, you have been protected by Allah. A prophet said of his own excellence that he didn't give in to sin. He said, it is because the mercy of Allah, because of the mercy of God. And we know the prophet Joseph, or Yusuf, in the Quran, he was tempted by the ladies, not these little small ordinary ladies, like the one that got O.J. Simpson working in a restaurant, you know. It wasn't no little ordinary lady like that. The prophet Joseph, peace be upon him, Yusuf, he was tempted by big ladies, the head lady in the most powerful nation of that time, the head lady, and all of her ladies in her service were just drunk in the head in love with Joseph, Yusuf. And they tried to seduce him. They tried to seduce him. And he could not be seduced. And what does Allah say us of that? It says, surely the amorous self, the self that's just powered by passion, is headed for corruption, except for the mercy of God. Illa, except for whoever God has shown his mercy. So God has shown his mercy, obviously, to Joseph, peace be upon him. And Muhammad said that God gave him mercy, that God was merciful to him and protected his soul, gave him a soul that would be protected from these temptations. Yes. Praise be to Allah. And I have come to learn that if we are of excellence, if we have anything great, it is because God has been merciful to us. God has been merciful to us. And this is the Christian religion too. We don't believe that we have anything of good because of ourselves without God. No. It's because of God being merciful to us. Being merciful to us. The grace of God. Mercy of God. The grace of God. So much for that. Now, what was that all to say? We have to stop this thing that we got in our community. Some thinking one way and others thinking another way about the good, the good and the excellence in the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Some don't want us to even mention it. Don't even mention that you had some blessings in the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Because we were Jahiliyyah. We were Jahiliyyah. Well, the Prophet didn't treat the Jahiliyyahs like that. He said, those who were of excellent behavior in the time of Jahiliyyah, they are of excellent behavior now. So that was a tribute that he was paying to those people who were excellent before the message of Islam came to them. So how come we can't be the same? How come we can't have the same kind of reasoning when it comes to the excellence that we're proud of? And I'm proud of my excellence. My mother and father raised me to not to be a liar, to not to be a thief, to not to be lazy or out idle. They taught me this. They put this in, they burned that into me. And they taught me not to drink liquors, not to take drugs. They taught me not to be a whoremonger. And you can search my life all over this country where I've been, and you will find the witness will tell you that that man is not that kind of man. He did not do those things. They'll tell you that. I know I couldn't do that by myself. Because I see a lot of things that I'm having to choose. I'm lost. Every day, you know, this world now, it publishes. Oh, it publishes stuff, you know. You don't have to look for it. It's right in your face all the time. And I know that my salvation is not my doing. It's the mercy of God. And God has put me from a child in circumstances that would protect me and give me strength and support. That's the mercy of God. So don't come here feeling that you can't think yesterday. You can't remember yesterday. You can't applaud yesterday. No, don't think that way. But applaud today even louder than you applaud yesterday. Allah says that we should glorify God with the spirit and with the glorification greater than that we gave our false God. That's what Allah says to us in Quran. So now we know the religion as we understood it from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not correct. We know we are worshiping false gods while having the real God in our soul and in our deep in the heart, but we were worshiping visually with our eyes false gods. And if we could jump to our feet and thank Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, thank Allah, praise Allah, we should be louder today for the new day and new knowledge and new time and new direction and new future. So if you call me your leader, then I'm giving you an order. Do not knock any good of yesterday, but see it as a foundation that we didn't have to build while we are building the new structure of the day. And that's Islam. You don't go knocking down things that's good. You look for an opportunity to build more good on what is already there. And that's how come your leader has been successful with you. I have built on what already, on the good that was already there. I build upon it to complete this edifice that is the real Islam today. praise be to Allah, in our hearts, in our houses, our homes, in our schools, if we have our schools, and definitely in our masjids, our places of worship, our mosques, to build this life that is really Islam for ourselves. It's our life. Don't you know that too? This is important. Islam is not something that comes to you that had nothing to do with you. Islam is something that comes to you that had something to do with you. Islam is your inheritance. This is Islam. Islam is your inheritance. Islam is your inheritance. What does that mean? It was my property before I knew it. God created me to have it, but the world did not permit me to have it. So now God has revealed it to his prophet so I can have my own property. Islam is human property. Human property. And your and my human property. That's Islam. It's not something that your nature didn't want. It's something your nature was missing. And your soul was lonely. Your soul was wanting to be filled. There was too much emptiness there. It was hungry for something that it couldn't see or touch or know, but it just understood that it's missing something. When Islam came, the soul rested like a little newborn baby. Huh? Why? Because that wasn't something that was foreign to you coming to you. That was your property coming to you. How come Muhammad is chosen to be the last prophet? And how come God says of Muhammad to us, he says of Muhammad in the Quran, Muhammad has already lived a lifetime with you. A lifetime with you. What does that mean? Before God called him and gave him the message of Islam through the angel Jibreel, peace be upon him, God says of him that he had already lived a lifetime among you. And what was that lifetime? It was a lifetime of human excellence. For 40 years, he had lived from birth till 40-year-old man. And God called him, and God saw all that 40 years before his call that he had lived the life of a Muslim. Muhammad had lived the life of a Muslim for 40 years before Allah called him. Not a Muslim in the classical sense, not a Muslim in the sense that we know, the formal classical sense that we understand Muslim now, but he lived the Muslim in the same sense that Islam tells us that the moon is a Muslim, the earth is a Muslim, all heavenly bodies are Muslim, and that every human being, this is the words of the prophet now I'm giving you now, prayers and peace be upon him, he said, every child is born Muslim. You're born a Muslim. Then it is the circumstances that the baby is put in that makes it something else. So Muslim is your nature then, isn't it? And I guess that's why we were taught to say, and who is my own self? Or what is my own self? You were taught that. You recall it? Let me see the hands of those that record it. Wow! I thought so. I just wanted to know. You think these people will be lost? No. Praise be to Allah. Yes, we were taught we were given a question, and we're taught how to answer it. Say, and what is my own self? You know, the biggest problem that was created for us by our separation from Africa, from our ancestors, fatherland, motherland, separation from whatever religion we had, separation from whatever cultural life we had, from whatever social life we had, the separation from that life, business life, political life, whatever life we had. You know what that separation did more than anything else? It created for us an identity problem.
teacher, a reformed teacher, a reformed teacher tell us we something else, we readily grab it. Oh, the Moorish American reformed teacher, noble Drew Ali, may God bless him with paradise, he taught us to say we are Asiatics. Asiatics. And Farad used the same language. When he came, he used the same language, but he just added black man, Asiatic black man. You remember that? Yes. Who is the colored man? Who is the original man? You remember those questions? I do too. Now, so Marcus Garvey came along and he put our minds on Africa. Now remember, these two men were living in the same time too. Their communities were thriving in the same time. He put emphasis on Africa, so a lot of his followers, they were Afrocentric. And they identified strongly with Africa as Africans. Along comes the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he stressed color because the white man was stressing color. White man was stressing color that he's white and we black. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was taught by his teacher, Farad, who in his lesson said we are Asiatic black man. He said that in his lesson, we're the Asiatic black man. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad just used the black. I don't blame him. That's exactly what I would have done. See, Farad was a psychologist. He was a head doctor, not a foot doctor. He was a head doctor. And he wanted us to have problems with his language so that we would be in a mental situation to accept change in language. He didn't want the language to be comfortable for us. He wanted us to have language that's not comfortable for us and hope that one day, when things got better and we didn't have to address these evils all the time, some of these evils would be gone from America, that we would be in a situation to come up with a better language. He saw himself coming in the role of Christ. And what did Christ say? This is not in the Quran, this is the Bible. Christ said, tear this temple down. Destroy this temple. That's the word. If you meant ministers. Any ministers here? Yeah. I'm familiar with the Bible. He said, destroy this temple, and I'll build it up in 3 days. Isn't that what he said? Destroy this temple, and I will build it up in 3 days. Now, you know, they think of the temple being the body, the flesh and blood body. Destroy this temple, and I will build it up in 3 days. Applied it to the flesh and blood body according to the scripture, that doesn't gel. Why? Because the scripture said he was saved, his body went up to heaven. That's according to scripture. See, his body went up to heaven. They couldn't destroy his body. Yes, they attempted to kill and destroy his body, but his body was raised up to heaven. So it could be understood by translation. We have to translate it. It's talking not only about his teachings. That's the real body was his teachings. It's not talking just about his body. It's talking about those who are with him, the people with him. That's the real temple. It's the congregation in Christ, the congregation in Christ. So the congregation is in Christ. Says destroy it. And then the world came again. He told the world, according, this is Bible now. Don't confuse it with Islam. I'm not teaching you Islam now. I'm quoting their scriptures and their teaching. And he told them that they were going to suffer. The world was going to come against them. And they were going to be given even worse than he was receiving. And after his passing from them, I won't say death, we don't accept that God's servants die. After his passing from them, that's what happened. The cruel world came against his followers.
and so miserably treated, so cruelly treated them, and subjected them to so much misery, to destroy the message in them, to destroy their faith in the word that had been deposited in them. Yes, but they outlived it. They outlived their tormentors. They outlived the time of torment. And the seasons changed to favor them. And they rose up in great numbers. And those who had oppressed them became members in the temple. Rome. Rome. Caesar is the one who gave approval, who approved of the execution and the things that were being done. You notice. So, let's apply this to us now. We were in the temple, weren't we? We were in the temple. Who knows what Farad said? Farad might have said, I came into the world for this purpose, to die, to be sacrificed, to be killed, and rise again. Not rise again in that, but rise again in the purpose. I'm convinced that no matter how strange the work of Farad is, his purpose was to put us in a situation to survive the cruelties of the time until a better season could come and we could rise in true al-Islam. I'm convinced of that, as I'm convinced that this is water. Praise be to Allah. So, do you believe that God acts in mysterious ways? That's a saying among Christians. I do. Now, God called Jonah, didn't he? And God told Jonah to go warn a wicked city, Nineveh, didn't he? And Jonah didn't do it. Now you may say, Jonah heard the word of God and disobeyed. But I know better. Jonah didn't hear God. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and tell Nineveh, but Jonah didn't hear God. And Jonah was on the ship out at sea. And he shouldn't have been there. And not only was he where he shouldn't be, but he was fast asleep there. And he shouldn't have been fast asleep in those serious times. So God caused a mighty wind to come and rock his boat. And the people that was responsible for the boat, in whose hands were the ship and the cargo to keep it safe and take it to its destination, they wondered, why are we having this problem? I guess they had been traveling that way for many, many months and years, and they never ran into, this was an unusual happening. They weren't supposed to run into any storm. So they said, you know, everybody get a little superstitious when you can't find any answer. So they say, there's a man on this boat. And we don't know that guy. He's down there in the hull of the boat, sleeping on the cargo. They go down there and get him. So they went down there and got him, and they say they just felt sure that he was the problem. And they threw him off that boat into the raging waters. And when he got out there in that trouble, he called on the Lord only after he was swallowed up by a big fish. I guess he said, hell, it ain't no cargo here to sleep on. Ain't no cargo here to sleep on. It ain't comfortable in here. Oh, Lord! Oh, God! And God heard him.
And God responded to him and caused the big fish to feel nausea. Something distasteful in my stomach. And he rushed to the seashore,
forcefully,
and spit him out, puked him up on the sands. Now, why can't I say the same of my experience? That God called me, and I didn't hear him. And he told me to stand before America and give America my message. But I didn't hear him. There I was, resting in a ship, sleeping on the cargo of other people. It wasn't my cargo. I'm there sleeping in the ship on the cargo of other people. And they picked me up. That boat was rocking and carrying on. And they threw me overboard. And I fell into the raging waters. And I was worse off than Jonah. I didn't read where he couldn't swim. I can't even swim. I'm just kicking and beating the water. And here come that big fish. Swoop, hum, followed me up. I'm in there. Pulling my eyelid. And can't see a thing. Pitch black. Pitch black. Oh, Allah, oh, Allah, oh, Allah. The big fish went straight for the sand. Poof! I fell out on the sand. Looked at myself. I don't know what happened to my clothes. I was butt naked. So I have to give you the rest of the Jonah story. Jonah couldn't give it to you. I had a three-day journey. And I met a word from my Lord. And I got on my job. Isn't that wonderful? See, these parables is given to us as a picture of circumstances that man falls into, and how the mighty will of God, the mighty plan of God for the human soul works its way. It works in us while we are asleep, when we don't know it. Now, I didn't know. Jonah didn't know. But God knows always. And God is all the time knowing and present and aware of everything in your circumstances. And God has willed that the human soul be delivered from all captivities and stand free to serve God. God has willed that. So I know that God has been present in my life from the time I took the first breath till this very day. But I had to wait God's time. God has his clock and we have our clock. I had to wait God's time. Thank God his time came for my soul to stand free before him, free of all captivity. And that's you too. Praise be to Allah. So much we need to review sometimes. We need to stop. And before we do the thing that we are eager to do or anxious to do, stop and count your blessings before you became in charge of the matter. Yes, before we became in charge, before we came into charge of the matter, God was helping us and with us and supporting us and blessing us and getting us closer and closer to the great meeting with him. So when Jonah came upon that boat as a, what you call those guys that on the boat don't supposed to be on there? Stowaways. Thank you. Said, hey, ma'am, doesn't have a script. Yes, I do. Don't you ever think that. I never come before you without a script. But I'm a free man. All right. Not even my script can hold me. If I want to walk off from the script, I'll do it. Yes. Don't ever think that God was not with you. If God was with Jonah, if God was with Jonah, to see him go where he's supposed to go, if we are lost, don't you know God is with us? And if we move from place to place, is God with us, causing us to go from place to place? Now, this is going to be a little hard on you. Yes, they came to Africa with the slave ships from Europe. And they loaded up the ship with merchandise that was my mother's and father's and your mother's and father's. And some of our people had my mother or my father or both captives because they had wars, they had regional wars, and they had captives. And some of my people were glad to get rid of a person that they had captured in war and sold me or my mother, not me personally, but my mother, my father, forefathers and mothers, sold them to a slave trader. The slave trader brought them on the boat and brought them here, crossed the water. Many of them died, committed suicide, jumped overboard. But obviously, those of my parents, forefathers, were not thrown overboard because I'm here. They didn't die. I'm here. All right. If God had selected Jonah, and he's on the ship sleeping, why can't you accept that I say God selected my forefathers and mothers that were brought by ship to this land? And they were on the ship, and they were unaware too, like Jonah. They weren't aware of their calling. They weren't aware of their purpose. And they were thrown off the ship into slavery. And I guess that's worse than the fish. Thrown off the ship into slavery. They became even a worse captive now. Captives on a ship, not captives in slavery. They're going to have generations of miserable existence. Yes. That children are going to be born in that miserable condition and will know nothing else but what they are born into. If we can believe that God was with Jonah on the ship while he didn't know it, that God has selected him and God was going to see him get where he's supposed to go, how come we can't believe that God was with us when our parents were on the ship and God was going to see that we get where we should go? God never punishes you for nothing. He never punishes you for nothing. The message of Islam came to Africa, and the Africans didn't respect it like they should have. And they suffered then, but even more they're suffering now. They have no more dignity now, most of them, than we have on welfare. Us who own welfare, getting a paycheck from the taxpayers, officially from our government. Huh? There's big nations over there in Africa, nations over there in Africa. They're existing waiting on a paycheck. They're waiting on an assistance check to come from the industrial nations. This is their condition. We talk about Africa, Great Africa. Where is Great Africa? When there's poverty and starvation, widespread. When there's no strong industry there. Egypt in Africa, under President Abdel Nasser, was able to produce their first automobile What automobiles Africa produce? Can we send to Africa to get some hurly-durly washing machine? Electric stoves or gas stoves? Can we have call there and say we want so many school buses made for us? It would be wonderful, wouldn't it? If we could call to Africa, and our situation was financially good enough for us to call to Africa and say, we want motherland to send us to make manufacture so many school buses for us, for our school system. We're going to use your school buses. We're going to call them Fez, Morocco school buses, or Timbuktu school buses. That would be wonderful, but we can't do that because they're on welfare too. They're deeply in debt to the Western powers, deeply in debt to the Western powers, and still got their hand out asking for more. They want assistance. You hear me? Wake up! Africa is on assistance. It has to have public aid from America, and Europe, or some other industrial nation. So, yeah? Yeah, circumstances. They're being whipped for some reason. They're getting a spanking for some reason. Okay, so here we are in that bad situation on the slave ship. But were our people good people? Had they honored their calling? If they had, we would have never been on the ship. Nobody would have seen, nobody would have looked at Africa and say, here's a place where we can get what we want. We would have been so strong in our excellence as servants of God, they would have never thought to come to us for slaves. So don't think we were innocent. But the human soul is innocent. The human soul is innocent. The mind goes astray. The soul always knows God. All it needs is an opportunity to have a chance to have a communication again with its Lord. And it will repent and it will go to its God. If the head doesn't interfere. See, while I'm talking, there's some of you all interfering. I feel static in the lines of communication. Not many of you all, just a few of you out there doing that. And it ain't your soul that's doing that. It's your crazy head in the way of communication. If you just stop thinking about that stuff that messes up your mind, buddy, you'll be traveling real nicely with us. And believe me, this is the best trip I ever took. Oh, it's so wonderful to travel on the path of Allah. Oh, yes. Now, here we are in America in bad circumstances, and the proof that they captured the souls that belong to God, the proof of it is, while we were without knowledge, without education, without even the tongue to speak correct English, dumb, deprived slaves in the world sense, African-American slave woman, she had the courage to speak to the white uppity-uppies. She said, you all look like God in your face. Now, where did she get that idea from? They gave her that idea that the face of a human being looks like God. She said, you all look like God in the face, but you act like the devil in your heart. And along came others who said, we do not believe God wants this miserable condition for us. God is a God of love. God is a God of justice. Those were the protesters who protested the treatment that we were receiving. So here is Jonah now waking up to his calling. And he's speaking, risking his life. He might be lynched, he might be shot, he might be burned at the stake. He's risking his life to speak what he believes is the will of God for him. And many of them lost their lives. Yes, many of them lost their lives. They were killed. for expressing their mind. But we are here. We are here. Their children. We, their children. We're here in a new day. And we have made that 3 days journey. Praise be to Allah. And our souls now stand free from all captivity, giving itself to God. Yes. So look, what I've done is given you concrete proof that God works through a people without their knowledge, and that God moves further and further ahead his purpose until the people are free to have the life he created them for. So now don't look at today and say, oh, the presence of God in my life begins in last year. Or in 19, when we made Hajj to Mecca with Imam Nabi Muhammad. Or it began in 1975 at the annual Savior's Day Convention. No! The presence of God in your life began when you took the first breath. In fact, even before then, before your mother and father conceived you, your purpose was already with God. And he started bringing it together when your mother and father came together. And the mother became impregnated. Then we saw a visible sign of God's work in you. This is the way we have to believe to have the real freedom our souls want. You can't really be free Muslims and feel completely comfortable in your Islam if you don't have this kind of reasoning. You're going to bed afraid to think of yesterday. My mother, she never knew this way. But I know my mother was good. But you're afraid to say it? You're afraid to tell other people? No, stand up for any good, because all good comes from Allah. I don't care what name it comes in. Christianity, Buddhism, Judaism, Islam. I don't care what name it comes in. All good comes from Allah. That's the teachings in the great religions. God is the source of all goodness. And in Islam, we don't attribute anything to God except good. And in Christianity too. The Prophet said, peace and blessing be upon him. He said, Allah is good. God is good. That's what we're saying. We say Allah, we're saying God. That's Arabic. You don't speak Arabic, you speak English. God is good. He said, God is good and he accepts nothing but good. Surely God is good. Tayyibun wa la yaqbalu illa tayyiba. Surely God is good. All good. Nothing but good. And he accepts nothing but good. So don't go out and sell some drugs and give us some of it in charity. And you think with God you got an account? No, with hell you got an account. With hell you got an account. One more time. With hell, H-E-L-L, you got an account.
Say, you are blessed to have this man as a leader. Say, he's so clear that he's clear. C-L-E-A-R. He is clear. And I don't tell you if you can understand what I'm saying. And people that don't even know me, white folks, Christians, don't even know me, and they hear what I say, and they say, he's so clear. So you won't be able to use that excuse. I'm like, he's heavy, man. Man, I'm just too heavy, man. Don't you have a headache, man? I've heard a lot of that coming from you all. Don't you have a headache, man? Right in front of me. Ma'am. Yeah, right in my presence, man. Oh, that was heavy, brother. I'm going to need a second for this, brother. Now, I know there was a time when the language was difficult because I was bringing you out of the language of mathematical theology into American English. And that was difficult. That was difficult. But the plain talk that I gave you is...
Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. I didn't know that the audio dropped out so bad. This is just the second section of it. I can continue to play it, or we can just call it a morning. Let me just see. Those of you, if you actually want the transcript, this is a choice that we also have. If you want the transcript, I can send you the transcript from this particular lecture. But I need to, those of you who are online, push one if you want me to keep going. Push one if you want me to keep going. Don't push one if you say you can let it go. And also if you can reach me, just hit me with the email, sabililaw@aol.com, and I'll send you the transcript. It seems most of you are saying keep going. Okay, so we're going to keep going. And you can still get the transcript. Just hit me at my email, and I'll just send it out to you, okay?
Down comes a great pour of rain, washes everything, floods the land. After a while, the sky opens up, and it's the clearest day you ever saw. The healthiest day for breathing, the air has been washed thoroughly. You can breathe better, look up at the sky. Oh, it's pretty and blue like it never was. So I thank God for the darkness. I thank God for the storm. Because it all was working to get me before God free of all captivity. Yes. Allah says in the Quran, fight the oppressors or the rejecters of faith until there is no more persecution and the religion is free. The religion! And the religion is free! So they were trying to oppress the religion. They were trying to hold religion in captivity. They were trying to deny religion the freedom of expression. And Allah says, and fight them until there is no more oppression and religion is free for God. And religion is free for God. Some of you all don't even believe that there's a purpose in your life, and that purpose is also freedom. God created you to be free. Free from all oppression. Free from all corruption. Moral corruption. Free from all captivity. The soul that has to be free to go to his God must not be held captive by man or by any power other than God. So don't give up your love for the word freedom. We love freedom. Our life was created for freedom. Our brains, our reasoning powers, our intellect was created for freedom. Freedom of expression. Sometimes we ourselves are the prison that holds our life captive. So you come to realize that God bless you to see his light. You come to realize that you are your own oppressor. That you are your own slave master. You're holding yourself in bondage. And you have to strike out against your own self. You have to say, Wallace, you're wrong the way you're thinking. I have to be free in my soul, Wallace. Get off my back with that thinking you have in your head. Huh? So some of you are looking around to see who's holding you back. And all you need is a mirror. All right. So much for that. Now, we're living in a time that I say is the best time since human beings have been on this earth. This is the time, right now. Best time. You know, the kingdom of Saudi Arabia is very strict when it comes to doing something as a Muslim. They're very strict. Now, some of them, when it comes to doing something as an individual, as a person, you know, may not strict at all. They're not restricted at all. But when it comes to doing something in the eyes of the world that's associated with Islam or associated with the... Now, we have Rabitas based in Holy Mecca, sacred Mecca. Rabitas is the World Muslim League. And the present Secretary General, that's the chief, he's the head, he's the top, of World Muslim League in Mecca, recently said in a very serious communication that he delivered to our Congress here in the United States. He said, America is the greatest nation on earth. That's what he said. I have it. I got a copy of it, the whole statement. He was protesting the two-handed way of dealing with the Israeli Palestinian problem. But he acknowledged in his statement to them that America is the greatest nation on earth. Now I'm beginning my address here, my presentation. And I have to catch the plane too. I am not worried about missing that plane. What are you worried about missing? Yes. So he said America is the greatest nation on earth. You know what the scholars are saying of Islam? What the scholars of Islam are saying throughout the world? We have no Islamic state. That's what they're saying. That the Muslim world does not have an Islamic state. What are they saying? In case you're not getting it, some of you. They're saying that Muslims don't have any nation to look to as an Islamic nation, a nation that's respecting Islam as it should be respected. That's what they're saying. No nation. They include the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. That there are no nation that's really respecting this beautiful, great religion, Al-Islam or Islam. But in America, we have dawah efforts, propagation efforts, invitation to Islam efforts. That's what dawah is, invitation to come to on the path of God, to come to Al-Islam. So we have dawah efforts in America. And the efforts in America are freer than efforts in Muslim countries. Freer. And then Allah says, fight them till there's no more persecution. And the religion is free for God. Is the religion of Islam free for God in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia? You go there and try to preach it. You go there and try to preach it. I won't write you because I know you won't be able to write me back. It's reality, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Reality, bro. This world is something else, man. See, when you're jiving with something, it won't even come out clear. It won't say, this is reality, brother. This is reality, bro. I saw a movie, the guy said, and that's the truth, root. It should have been just stopped right there, and that's the truth. Now it's got impact. But if you bring a slang in behind it, it dilutes the statement. And that's the truth, dude. What's happening, bro? That's this world. So far from reality, it only can give you a little reality and a lot of artificiality. Yes? Okay. So here is this great man of Islam. And believe me, I know him. I know the Secretary General Ramadan. He is a genuine Muslim, an excellent Muslim. I know him personally. I knew him before he got his job, before he got that post. I knew him when he was much in much lesser office. And he is a wonderful Muslim person. And he says of America, the greatest nation. Why? Is he looking at the material might only? No. Is he looking at the technology and all that? No. He's looking at more than that. He's looking at the fact that people are coming from all over the world with their best life that they want to live and can't live it like they want to where they are. They're coming to America so their best life can have more freedom of expression, a better place to be established. Now, it looked like we were being taken from Africa and put in bad circumstances. But now we look at the whole world and the situation for the world. God has, by a strange route, a perilous journey, God has brought us to the best situation on earth. Well, here's a man without a college degree, don't even have 6 months college credit, sitting with doctors that's got many doctorates, not one, many doctorate degrees. Sitting with the people that's working out the plan for tomorrow for the whole world, and there I am with my little self and my little knowledge, formal knowledge, sitting up with them, and they say, Dr. Muhammad, Dr. Wallace Muhammad. I say, pardon me, I'm not a doctor. They say, no, you are a doctor. So what has lifted the high school boy up to the doctorate plane of recognition? God! Yes. Praise be to Allah. We have to build our unity with respect for our differences. That's the way our unity is going to be strengthened. That's the way we're going to realize unity, the unity of all good efforts, the agreement for all good efforts by people, whether they're Christian, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, whatever. We're going to have an opportunity for once on this earth to have a united global effort involving all people who want to come and share in it, regardless of their persuasion, religious, or whatever, to marshal this movement, to get this soul to get closer and closer to the meeting with God, where it will know that it is completely free of all captivity. Isn't that wonderful? I sit with these people, and we are talking. Here I am talking to a great reverend, chairman, chief boss of the Kindness Foundation in Dallas, who presided over a congregation of a few thousand members, and every one of them offer welfare. Never known welfare. They never knew welfare. Powerful and rich membership. And he meets me and he's so humble. Not because of me, because that's his nature. And he's not a Muslim. He's a Christian. And he's so humble. He introduced me. I wish you could hear. I think you're going to hear. I wish you could hear the way he introduced me. He was selected to introduce me when I came and when it was my time to speak. And you should hear the way he introduced me. We sit and we talk about our interest in contributing to a better world for everybody. And I forget he's not a Muslim. I become unaware that I'm talking to a person who's not a Muslim. My heart feels so comfortable with him. My spirit feels so comfortable with his. That I'm just, my inside, I'm just feeling as though I'm with the man of my own faith. Until something happened to wait in here or to get my attention to some matters outside of what's happening. And then I see it. This is Reverend Don Denton. And I have that experience with so many people, males and females. Males and females. This is important for us to note. We know Allah created us Muslim. And this is our original identity. How do we know? Allah tells us in the Quran. And we named you Muslim before and in this. This is in the Quran. So we know that. That means before there were Muslims in history, God had already named us Muslims through Abraham, Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him. And Abraham is called father in Islam, like he's called father in Christianity and Judaism. So this is something we should note, that Allah does not call us Muslims when he's talking to us or communicating his message to us, not nearly as often as he calls us believers. Believers! Ya ayyuhal mu'minun, oh you believers. Ya ayyuhal mu'minun, oh you believers. Hardly ever. Ya ayyuhal muslimun, oh you Muslims. Hardly ever. But ya ayyuhal mu'minun, oh you believers. Believers connects us with more than just Muslims. Because Christians are believers in God. Yes, they are. In spite of what some of our spiritually enraged representatives say. Christians are believers. Among them is a strong body of believers. Jews, among them is a strong body of believers. And we could say this of other great religions too. Believers! Now, if we would just keep the language that Allah gave us, that language, to address each other as believers. But we have become crusaders. We wear army clothes all the time. The word is a sword. And we're ready to kill somebody with it at any time. It can be over the dinner, at breakfast. It can be at the cemetery when we're burying somebody. We keep our sword on our side, and we're ready to go to war and kill somebody at any time. In the name of what? Muslims. We are Muslims, brother. We are Muslims. We have emphasized that so much over the generations, that we have lost our identity as believers. Muslim is my nature. Muslim is my unconscious life. It doesn't become my conscious life without me becoming a believer. I become a believer, and the Muslim become a conscious expression, because now I'm a person of faith. Yes? To have this unity grow strong as the basis for our diversity. Listen closely to what I'm saying. This unity is needed. An acceptance of the diversity of the differences in order for it to grow. And the differences need the strong support of unity in order for them to be held up. Nothing will hold up our differences but our unity. May hold up our differences when we are separate from each other, separated from each other. You don't need unity to hold, because you're in your own world. You could float in space. You could, you don't have to have a foundation with human beings. You know? Some people's identity, their unique self that they have chosen for themselves is a self that levitates up here in space. You know? It's not down here on earth. So to have that, you don't have to come with other people for any unity. You don't need unity. In fact, you can't have it because I ain't going to join you there. I don't believe in levitating. No, I believe in gravitating, not levitating. See, levitation is oblivious to all the laws of gravity. And my humanity has great gravity. And it wants to be with my other human brothers and sisters on earth where we can live out our life. God says that he puts you in the earth, the place where you'll find your needs, the fulfillment of your aspirations. You have to find them here. Faith will be found here on earth. Spiritual salvation, our salvation in religion, must be found here on earth. See, and this is the place where you live. This is the place where you come together. You want to unite? You want humanity to come together? God says the earth is the place for us to do that. If we try to do it in our different persuasion, we won't have that togetherness. What is the common bond for us? The fact that we are human, rational, moral, spiritual, flesh and blood members of the same human family. And we all are born from our mothers right here on this earth. And our mothers need food, clothing, and shelter. And medical attention. If we don't have these things, we can't have healthy babies. This is the reality for us. So we must have this coming together right down here. So we make a call for people to come together and say, come together as human beings, as members in the human race. Members in the human race. All of us can answer that call. All of us to come together as dwellers of the earth. All of us can answer that call. Needing food, clothing, and shelter. Freedom, justice, and equality. Equal opportunity to excel. All of us can respond. You know, how does Allah tell us to address differences? People believe in one thing, they believe in another. How are we going to come together? How are we going to come together? Are we going to come together saying, we'll come together, I'm a Muslim, and you're a Christian, we're going to come together, as Muslims and Christians, we're going to come together. That ain't how Allah said do it. Allah said, say to them, let us come to an agreement upon a word of equality. A word of equality. Huh? A word of equality. What is the word of equality? We are all human beings of the same human race. That's a word of equality, isn't it? We all need food, clothing, and shelter. That's a word of equality. We all have in our souls the need to be free. A word of equality. There's a human soul, same as yours. You don't have a monkey soul and I have a human soul. You don't have a baboon soul and I have a human soul. A dog soul, a cat soul. No, all of us have the same human family, human race soul. Human soul. And that's our first soul. That's our first identity. That's our first soul. That's our first self. That's our true self. That's the self was before, and that's the self will be after we've gone through all these other selves that we adopt. Eh? This is the word of equality. We all need good circumstances for our children. We all want a good future for our children. Human souls want that. That's the word of equality. In the religious community, we all can agree on a word of equality. We all say we believe in God. We all say that God is one. We all say that the God we have is not a stone, is not a clay idol somewhere, or not a dog, or a river, or a snake. That our God is the God that made the heavens and earth. We all say that. Even the Hindus will boil it down to that. Huh? Though they have many gods, more than many, most other people, they will reduce all of that, or boil it all down to, yes, the God of the heavens and earth, that is God. The one God, the Lord over everything. That's the word of equality. And what is the word of equality expressed in the Quran? The condition for the word. The condition for the word is that we don't raise up from among our own family in the human family. Let not the black family in the human family. Let not the red family in the human family. Or the yellow family in the human family. Or the white family in the human family. Lift up from themselves a Lord other than the real God for us all. That's the condition given in Allah's book, the Quran. Let us come to a word of equality. A word that we all can appreciate equally. That's what it means. Let us agree on something that all of us, though we have differences, can appreciate equally. Does any one of us like that someone other than us in the human family raise up a God and say, this is the God? But they raise that God up from among their people and say, this is the God.
National mind. And that's the point. To come to equality, to come to an equality is needed for us to come a condition of equality where we are respected equally by what we are involved in or committed to. And also that we respect the human intelligence. Respect the human intelligence. God has made us to reason, to think, and to use our intelligence. So don't give me something ridiculous for my plain human sense of intelligence. I can't join you if you're going to do that. Give me something that respects the best of myself. And Muhammad the prophet said, peace and blessing be on him. He said, God created nothing better than better in its utility, better in its service. God created in its contribution, pardon me, better in its utility and better in its contribution. In service to God, contribution to the bettering of life for human beings. God, Muhammad the prophet said that God created nothing better than the human brain. The human brain. But the word akal means the human intelligence too. The human intelligence. We have a brain that does what other brains can't do. God didn't give this to other brains. God didn't give what we got to pigs, to cows, to monkeys, to rats. What we got, no, not even to eagles that fly up above the ordinary rainstorm. Fly above them. Fly up there under the sun. Fly in the sun while the other birds got rain falling on them in the dark. Eagles flying in the sun. High-flying birds. But he doesn't have the brain that we got. God gave us a brain that's special. Very, very special. You may say, gave us a heart, too. That's very, very... No. No. Your heart is no more special than an animal's heart. Oh, but yes, it is. Our heart is loving. Some animals love. Some animals love so much they give up their own life for you. And I don't mean die physically. They do that too. They will actually commit suicide, die physically, give their physical life to you. But they give up their own life that God created for them, for you.
You take the dog and put it in the circus. I want to create that dog for no life in the circus. And then instead of walking like it's supposed to walk, it's walking on its hind legs, doing a little dance and stuff that you try to do. It's living for you. And you can bring it in your house, and it will stay with your baby and just won't go out to play, won't even have sex. Just stay right there where you told to stay and protect your baby or your house. So don't tell me you got a heart, your heart is something special. Your heart is only special because your brain is special. And if your brain, your special brain can relate to your heart, and your heart relates to your special brain, and they mate each other for cooperation and progress and excellence, then you got a heart that's better than an animal's heart. But if your heart ain't no more helped by a human brain than an animal is, your goodness is no more than the goodness of a rabbit, or the goodness of a dog, or the goodness of a cow. They have the same goodness. You make love to your wife, brother. You make love to your sister, your woman. And you give her love and your animal does it better. If you ain't got something working up here in your head, the animal's doing that better than you. Oh, it just electrifies me sometimes.
Yeah, that's right.
To see liberating truth.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, sirree. Yes. So we need unity. We must have unity. The same great man, Christian Reverend, chairman of the Kindness Foundation in Dallas. Foundation is doing a marvelous job of sensitizing the Dallas citizens for a better world to come. That same man said, I'm not quoting him word for word, but I'm giving it to you as closely as I possibly can. He said, we all are here sharing the same place. That's this earth. The earth is too small now. Because of technology, transportation, modern transportation, modern technology, communication, television, media, brings us all together in one room called the Earth. He says we're all sharing one place, and we all have some place we want to go to have it better. And if we get there, we're going to have to get there together. That's plain language to me. So we need the unity that will support our diversity. And that unity is given to us in our great religion. God created us nafsan wahida, one soul. God created us one soul. And we one soul shared itself with its mate. And they became two distinct souls, male and female. And then they had children, and they shared the soul with their children until the world became populated as it is, so many people of different looks, of different minds, etc., of different spirits. But to have the peace and the progress for all of us on this earth that have become one living room now, housing us all, we have to return to that spiritual core that we all descended from, that we all were dispersed from. We have to return to that spiritual core. We have to return to that unity of soul in order for us to have support while we are different. For unity of purpose and cooperation to make progress on the path. That's what we have to have. And we don't need anything but a recognition that before I was an African, I was a human. Before I was a black man, I was a human man. And I can put all of my African I want to put on my human identity. If my human identity is not supporting it, I'm a messed up African. And that goes for anybody else.
that's trying to build other identities upon your original identity, upon your essence, your truest identity. It's not your physical identity, but your human identity. You're not dog, you're not rat, you're not cat, you're human. And if you forget that, you will put African decoration, black decorations on you, and we will look at you and see a goddamn dog. And excuse my language. It was only for psychological effect. We must accept our differences. God wants us to see value in our common life, common human connection, more important and above, superior to the differences that we have. As one race, another race, one ethnic family, another ethnic family, cultural group, and another. God wants us to see that the more excellent life is the one that He created for us first, before He permitted us to be involved in these other different shapes or pictures. He wants us to see the single picture as the more important picture. He says, God says, I gave you your picture and I made it beautiful and excellent. Your picture! And then He also says that I give you your pictures, more than one, when you're in the wombs of your mother. Right? I give you your pictures when you're in the wombs of your mother. So we come out African and Chinese, Asian, Nigerian, Ghanaian, whatever, all these different pictures, you know, Russian, whatever. We come out all these different pictures. But God says the pictures that He made most beautiful and most excellent is our human picture that He created for us. That He created for us. He created us to be human beings in a human family. And a human life and a human spirit is a directional life and a directional spirit. Like Jonah. He wasn't raised to be where God wanted him to be. But God created him to be in, as Allah says, He created man in toil. And He progresses him by stage after stage. Difficulty sometimes, the high difficulty. He's being ushered on to his excellent place where he will stand before his Lord with his soul fulfilled. Huh? Soul free. Oh, soul that has a tendency to want to be pleased. Return to your Lord, pleasing and pleased. So here are two conditions God's pointing out to. I know I skipped about, don't they? You scientists down there, you high, heavy degreed scholars down there that never went to a real school. Don't puzzle your brain too much trying to see flaws in what I'm doing. I'm trying to give you the gist of it. I didn't quote it all. Yeah. What is God telling us with that? That the human soul that has inherently, the human soul has by its own nature, because of its own makeup, because of how it was made, it has a need in it to have peace and satisfaction. How will we get it? By pleasing the directional urge of excellence in our own soul. So I have to please this unique, special, precious, valuable life that is in my soul that will not accept the death sleep. It'll wake me up. Hey, you ain't making no progress. You should have enough rest now, Wallace. Get up. And if you just stay in that bed, the life will punish you. After a while, you'll be hurt. You won't be feeling good. You only need it 7 or 8 hours sleep, and you have six. You got 16 now, and now 17, and 18, and now you're feeling bad. Head hurt. But you don't have any initiative, so you lay there in torment until the body lets you sleep a little more. And sometimes you just go sleep for 2 minutes and wake up. Some of us so damn out and lazy, we just stay in the bed torturing ourselves. The soul already told you a long time ago, hey, you got enough of this, get up and find some activity. Yes. So let's come down from the clouds. Let's come down from our idea of what is super up there. Come down to earth and see the reality. For us, while we're living in this life on this physical planet, and accept. Oh yes, brother, we have to live. We have to live. We have to live for Allah's pleasure, brother. Everything you have to do it for Allah's pleasure, brother. We use that to excuse ourselves. The wife wants some pleasure. It has to be for Allah's pleasure, brother. It has to be Allah's pleasure, brother. Allah created something for your pleasure that He doesn't share. He ain't sharing in it. He doesn't want that. That's beneath, so far beneath, and out of the sphere of His reality. It's your reality, not God's. Yes, brother, everything has to be for the pleasure of Allah. I told the sister, brother, for the pleasure of Allah, I have to go and stay 40 days, brother, in this program, brother. 40 days and 40 nights, brother. And I don't care what the sister say, brother. Yeah, she told me the bills got to be paid. But Allah will pay the bills. Allah will take care of the bills, brother. Oh, my God, don't you do this for the pleasure of Allah. It's the pleasure of Allah that you take care of your responsibilities at home, brother. That's the pleasure of Allah, too. And Allah does not want us to become so much absorbed in a one-sided perception of what human life is. Human life is serving and pleasing God, and human life is also serving and pleasing human life. But that life is not just material or flesh. That life is also spiritual. Our life is also spiritual. In fact, our truest essence, the truest human essence, is not this meat. Not even my emotions, not that. Not even my thinking, my mind, not that. The truest essence, the truest me is my spirit. Because my spirit is an ascending life. It is a moving life, my spirit. Some people can be putting that in a position, just wiping that wall there. Say, just wash the wall. If a mosquito get on and splash out or something, or die on him, or the dust accumulate, just wash it off. That's all. You don't have anything to do, brother. That's your assignment. Just keep it up. That brother be just something you can find. A person. They'll be satisfied with that. And they'll just stay right there. Say, man, why ain't you doing something? Ain't nothing to do. Ain't nothing on the wall, brother. So he sleeps. Wake up and sing. Might do some dancing or something, anything, just pass time, waiting for the wall to need some service. But there are the majority of us that's putting us in prison. To tell us to just stand there and wait for that wall to need some service, that's putting us in prison. We have to do more than that. Our souls say, go out and do more. Go out and make more contributions. Go out and do something that is of more benefit to the world of mankind. Our soul will move us out of that situation. We have to have a job, a situation where we can experience more expression of the great talents that God has deposited in us. Yes. And those are the ones who are following the directional life called the spirit. The spirit. They are following the human spirit. The human spirit. Great spirit. So this is where we excel everything else that God has made. In our intellect, if we use it rightly. And if we use it wrongly, we can become the lowest of all creatures on this earth. That's what God says in the Quran. But if we use it correctly, we can rise above all the creatures in value, above all the creatures on earth, in the creation. And the spirit and the intellect. What makes the human being such a special creation? Such a special creation. What animal has a spirit? to make a better house for himself. And then look at other animals and say, I can create better circumstances for those animals too that don't belong to my family. That's the human being.
So don't underestimate your value as a creation that God made. Don't underestimate that value. You know, if we could give this message from religion to the masses of people in these cities, but we're so ready to pull out our sword. We can't talk the language that God has given us to forgive these people without going to pull out our sword and go to war over our differences. You know, going back a little bit, back so far that you all that weren't with us, if you've never been with the Nation of Islam back in this time, don't try to understand it. It's too far back for you and too far away from your reality. We were told that once a great black scientist wanted to see all the people speak one language. He wanted to impose his language on everybody. So he decided, since they wouldn't do it, he was going to destroy the whole world, the whole earth. So he, yeah, I know what it was. I'm making it easy on these people. Don't think I forgot how it goes. I know how it goes. He wanted to destroy the whole earth. So he drilled a hole deep into the earth until it went past the diameter. And he filled the hole up with 100% pure black explosive powder. I know what it says. I know what I'm doing. He filled the hole up with pure black explosive powder. And he set it up. And he set it off. He lit it and set it off. Since he couldn't have them all speak the same language. And he brought destruction to the planet that we were living on. That's what we were taught, right? Now, will you now, after getting that lesson in that allegory, will you now try to impose your language on all people? If you believe in what you were given back then? That's something for Farrakhan to think about. I hope he gets it. So he can accept the beautiful language of languages of mankind at the table of unity, peace, and prosperity for us all. Thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum. Peace be unto you.
That you wrote has come again, and you were warned. So on your soul, but you chose to be slick, so your ties won't hold. That's why you got to fight, yeah.
Fight, yeah. Don't let them take your pride. Don't let them take your pride. Come on and fight, people! Come on and fight, yeah!
Don't let
them
take it,
no! Time is rising, yeah!
Unemployment!
People are going crazy! They don't know what to do! Devil is working, I say! Trying to lead you straight! From behind, trying to take what God gave you, that is your mind. That's why we say fight. Come on and fight, people.
Don't let
them
take your mind.
Don't let them take it, no.
Don't let them take your mind.
Come on and fight, people. Come on and fight, people.
Don't let them take your mind.
Don't let them take it, no.
Yeah.
Come on and fight, people.
Don't let it take your mind.
Don't let it come up.
Yeah. Don't let it take your mind.
Jesus.
Fight.
Yeah.
Don't let it take your mind.
We got to
fight.